Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
First off, this is why you come down to sit with Kevin Clancy. Because you make me think.
Welcome to the Kevin Clancy Show. I've been in this game over a decade, and I knew I needed a place where I could run wild on my own solo podcast, where I tell personal stories, I deep dive into conspiracy theories, we rip through the current events of the day, and we do sit-down conversations with the most interesting people on the internet. Make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
What's up, you mutts? It's another episode of the Kevin Clancy Show, Spite Tour Phase 2, Episode 15, with my man Robbie Berger. If you don't know Robbie, he's from the Brilliantly Dumb podcast. He has a new series called Sports with Bob, one of the most naturally funny cats out there today. He's childhood friends with Frankie Borelli out there on the West Coast. He's a guy who should be at Barstool. He's not. He took an interview with us. It ended up not being the right fit because he said, fuck it, I'm just going to do it myself out on the West Coast, which is a very noble and admirable thing to do. Unless you're like already a famous comic or have your own show, trying to be out here on the internet alone is no joke, and he's forging his own way through it. Just one of the most naturally funny fucking guys you'll ever meet, with the most preposterous voice and the biggest forehead. I love you, Robbie. But it's all part of the Spike Tour. He is a Spike Tour kind of guy. He said, fuck it, I'm just going to do it all myself. That's what we're doing here on the Kevin Clancy Show. 12 years in, been doing the podcast for a decade. Can't get somebody to book my guests for this show. Got to do it myself. That's what life's all about. Whether you're the rookie or the veteran, if nobody's going to do it for you, you just got to fucking take the reins and take control and do it yourself. That's the Spike Tour. I appreciate everybody who's been helping us out. Anything that you post or tweet, I will repost and retweet. We got to help grow this shit so that, I don't know, maybe one day somebody can actually book guests for me. Also, buy tickets. We got tickets to the New York Comedy Festival. KFC Radio is live on stage Friday, November 12th at 6:30. It's like a Friday night pints live, so you can come through the Gramercy Theater, have some beers with us. We got the whole KFC Radio gang, maybe plus a couple, maybe some surprise guests that I promise won't be garbage, and we'll have a good time. So you can get tickets through the New York City Comedy Festival. Check that out, or check out KFC Radio, KFC Barstool, social media. You'll see the tickets to buy. You'll see the link to buy tickets there. So Bob's in the back half. We'll talk to him. But first, I got bones to pick. Bones to Pick are brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the number one place to – they're the only place. I can't think of another company out there that's making the right proper tools to shave your junk. They say that you got to have – make sure you have a smooth dagger. Manscaped's coming in hot with the imagery. They said make sure your dagger is smooth. Holy shit. I don't think you can say that in 2021. But you know what you definitely can't do in 2021? Have a hairy dagger. Nobody wants a hairy, curly-cue dick. So get the Lawnmower 4.0. It's got the nick-proof technology. It's waterproof. It charges. It holds a charge for basically as long as your dick will work. You can trim your shit with the Manscaped once it's got a full charge with the Lawnmower. You also got the Crop Preserver, the Ball Deodorant, the Moisture Wicking Boxers. They got the Weed Whacker to help get that nose hair and ear hair all done. So every part of your body will be smooth and trim, and people won't want to run for the hills when they see your hairy dick. You just can't have a hairy dick. You know, shout out to our generation. You know that we killed crabs? We just got rid of – it's crazy that the world used to just walk around with nests for little fucking bugs. And they would just be like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. It's like, yeah, you can just get rid of that hair. It's like, oh, I don't know. I got those crabs again. There's nothing I can possibly do about my hairy vagina or my hairy dick. Or you could just fucking cut it off and not give a spot for those fucking bugs to live, you maniacs. So shout out to us for some common sense, just eradicating crabs. And it's all thanks to companies like Manscaped. Right now, they're going to hit you off with a nice little discount. You go to manscaped.com, use promo code Clancy, C-L-A-N-C-Y, get 20% off plus free shipping. And make sure your shit's all cleaned up. Today, I'm running around because my mom's in the hospital. She got double knee surgery. One operation, she got a knee replacement on Tuesday, the second knee on Friday. It's a fucking disaster. I mean, Mama Clance is like, she's a lunatic, you know. I mean, if you've heard any of my stories, she's an absolute lunatic. She has like anxiety to the point that she can't leave the house. Now she's got to go to the hospital for like 2 weeks, be in rehab for like a month because she's got to get both her knees replaced. So I'm running back and forth to the hospital and rehab. And then my nanny goes away to Ireland for the week. So now I've got the kids today. So I'm playing Mr. Mom. I'm dropping off. I'm picking up. I'm watching them all day long, all in between trying to squeeze in 1 Minute Man, squeeze in the podcast. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to finish this right now before I got to go get Keegan. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. Keegan's got to be on the podcast today, folks. And so I got a bone to pick because right now I'm in housewife mode. I'm in house dad mode. There are two groups of people. I'm talking to the parents now and any of the future parents. I'm either the voice of reason or the ghost of Christmas future. That's always what I've been for my career. The people who either go, that's fucking right. Like 1 Minute Man where it's like, yeah, that's just a normal guy's fucking opinion. Or I'm the ghost of Christmas future where I've always had people come up to me and be like, man, I didn't think, I thought you were always joking about how much like, the office life sucks. Nah, it's true. I'm like, yeah, it's fucking true. Oh, I thought you were joking about marriage, man. No, that shit's real. I'm always spitting the truth. So right now I'm talking to the parents or the people who one day will be parents. There are two groups of people in this world when it comes to dropping your kids off. There are the people who at 7:30 in the morning, my kid's got to be at school at 7:45. She's fucking five, dude. Starting her day at 7:45. That's fucking preposterous. These goddamn Catholics, these Catholic schools, you got to be in uniform at 7:45. What are we in the fucking army? She's five. She's got a goddamn broken arm. I got to roll her out of bed, get her there by 7:45. And when I get there, there are two groups of parents. There are the parents who are showered and dressed and styled and ready to fucking go. And then there are the normal parents who roll up in their fucking pajamas, in their sweatshirts, in their Sad Boy Season hoodies, in their Sherpa hoodies, in their Moon Man lounge pants, like normal fucking people. We are still coming out of a goddamn pandemic. We are living in the year 2021 where everything is teleconferencing and fucking remote teaching and learning and corporate life. And you guys are going to be showered and fucking ready with your high heels on and your fucking three-piece suit or some shit. What are you trying to prove? Fuck anybody who's at the drop-off line for kindergarten looking like they're ready to go into some sort of fucking presentation at work. Like you're going to do some TED talk. Like you're on stage unveiling the new iPhone. Fuck you guys. You show me two groups of parents, the dirty, unshowered, messy-haired, slippers on, robes still on, versus the people in the pantsuit with their fucking like laptop bag or some shit. I'm rolling with the dirty and unshowered every fucking time, man. What are you people trying to prove? You're hanging out with we're dropping off the five-year-olds, okay? 7 in the morning. Nobody even goes to work anymore. Nobody even puts on clothes barely. We don't even go out in public. What do you get up at like, how do you even do this? People got to get up at like 5 a.m. to do their own showering and grooming because by the time your kid gets up, you got to feed them and clothe them and get them out the fucking door. How is this even possible? I don't need any other advice. Show me how you drop your kids off in the morning and I can tell you everything about a person. The people who are just like, you know, leery-eyed, like, here you fucking go, kid. Like, don't get arrested. Don't do anything illegal. Those are my kind of people. Got the other people who are like, you know, giving kisses goodbye while they make like sure everything's perfect while they're all put together and they got, you know, another thing. I sent my kid to school today with her lunch with fucking ice packs in the little lunch bag thing to keep everything cool and fresh. Kid's gonna grow up soft. I was eating lukewarm sandwiches and snacks. I was eating warm bologna with mayo when I was a kid. I didn't have any fucking ice packs in there. You got these parents. We're all prim and proper, worrying about everything. Those are the phony ones. Those are the people you see them behind closed doors and their life's a fucking wreck. I'd rather be with the people who openly have their skeletons out there being like, yeah, man, I mean, I'm still hungover from the night before. I might still be drunk from the night before, but hell, I'm getting my kid here. Whatever. Fuck you. I'm not trying to prove shit to you. Those are my kind of people. Those are the parents that I write for. Shout out to them. Who else do I have a bone to pick with? I got a list here of everybody that I'm ready to pick up. It was a tweet that went viral over the weekend. And this is something that used to be a Twitter trend from a while ago that luckily died down for a bit, but now it's back. And this is the pity Twitter, the pity party Twitter. I can't stand it. It used to happen a few years ago, and it was like, I invited all these kids to my son's like fourth birthday party, and nobody showed up. And then the internet would be like, yeah, and that's pretty depressing. That's just bad parenting. Honestly, you throw a birthday party for your kid and nobody shows up, that's not on the kid. I mean, your kid, that probably means your kid kind of sucks or is smelly or is, you know, annoying. Nobody wants to come, but they're four. They can't fucking, you know, orchestrate their own social life. They probably wouldn't have thrown the party in the first place if they knew nobody was going to fucking show up, mom. Now I look like the asshole at Gymboree with no fucking friends. I'm going to eat all these little tiny slivers of pizza myself. I'm going to eat this ice cream cake all by myself, mom. No, we should have just canceled this thing because I don't have any friends. That's bad parenting. That parent has got to make sure that some fucking kids show up, at least a couple. Jesus Christ. But like, it seemed like every other week, probably like 4 or 5 years ago, it was somebody alone. Oh, I had to sit alone. And then like they would get like 100,000 retweets and everyone on Twitter would be like, I'm here for you. You're not alone. I'm like, I'll go to a party with you, or I'll go on a date with you, or I'll be your prom date, or whatever the fuck it was. And it was just like, ah, it's not what the internet's for. The internet's for, you know, fucking bad shit, for porn and narcissism and arguing and fighting and all that shit. We're not here to make each other feel better. And then that died down. Because the world went to shit, we all decided to hate each other. We became as divisive as humanly possible with politics, and we all just want to tear each other down until this world explodes. And that's really the way it should be on the internet. It reflects real life. But I saw a tweet that went viral this weekend. I don't even know where it is anymore. Let me see if I could pull it up, because I replied to it and I just didn't give a fuck. Because we went back all the way to pity party Twitter for this fucking college professor who threw a essay writing party. And no kids showed up to it. And the internet was like, oh my God, this is so sad. I would love to like learn. Here it is. Mark Luchter, I don't know. I organized a free, quote, how to write an essay session for the building where I'm staying full of undergrads. Was advertised in the building newsletter. I bought a bunch of pizza. Nobody showed up. I'm actually so sad. 126,000 likes, 5,000 retweets, 3,000 quote tweets. And everybody's like, oh, I'm so stunned. These undergrads they're so ungrateful. I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I would love to be at your party. Can you teach me how to write a fucking, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Yeah. You know, if I saw this guy in person and I saw he's some teacher just trying to do a nice thing and nobody showed up, I would probably be like, oh man, that sucks, dude. Like, you're a good guy, but we're not in real person. We're not in real life. We're on fucking Twitter. And he posts a picture of this shitty ass pizza. I mean, just some of the worst fucking pizza you've ever seen in your goddamn life. And it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, dude, that you got some shitty pizza and decided to host a homework party in the middle of a still lingering pandemic. Nobody has been able to gather anywhere for like 2 fucking years. And you think that people are going to be breaking down the door to hang out at your homework party when they're in college? You know what kind of parties people are going to in college? Fuck parties. Drug parties. Drug and fuck parties. I'm not going to how to write essay parties. The last people on earth that you should be sticking your neck out or bending over backwards for are fucking college kids. Not only because they are clueless pieces of shit who are just completely consumed by their own being, as they should be, because this is their time to just live and go fucking wild and figure out who they are before their life becomes eternally doomed and life sucks. They should be doing that. But also because they're the people who are currently doing everything other than wanting to do fucking homework and shit. Like, this is the time to rage, man. This is a time to be like, I don't want to do a how to write an essay party. I'm going to go to the get laid party. I haven't been outside in like 2 years. Now we're finally allowed to, you know, get together again. I'm not going to sit around while you teach me how to write a DBQ essay. Okay. 4 to 5 paragraphs with your document-based question. Make sure you have your work cited with your, you know, opening thesis and your middle, blah, 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 and your wrap. Shut the fuck up and stop crying about it on Twitter. Supply and demand. You wanted to throw a party. Nobody liked it. That's it. Lesson learned. Don't buy a bunch of people. And also, I posted it in the building newsletter. You know why nobody came to your fucking party? Because nobody reads a building newsletter, man. And the outpouring of support. It's like, how about you get some non-shitty pizza and come up with a better idea for your fucking party? It's a nice thing. I don't think we need to give the whole, you know, the pity party parade. Like, oh my God, can you believe this happened to this guy? I think life will continue. I think the world will keep fucking spinning. I also got a bone to pick with the people of TikTok and Reels and all these short videos. No surprise there. I'm old. They're young. They're smart. I'm dumb. They're cool. I'm lame. I can't keep up with anything, right? But as the 1 minute man and doing my job, I tend to keep up with the trends, some of the slang and some of the music. I don't love it, but I can, you know, kind of keep an eye on it and understand it. I cannot even begin to understand these trends on TikTok and Reels where it's like, They say if you fucking play this song while filming that your soulmate's going to text you. What? They say if you play this sound to the last video in your camera roll that it means this. I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to take this, the last sound. I don't know how to take the video of my last camera roll and put the sound to it. Or how about when they're like, they say if you play this sound backwards, you'll hear that. What are you talking? I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to play the sound backwards. I got to save it and then like put it on my picture or my video back. I don't know how to do that. Or what, how about when they're like, put your last 27 pictures to this soundtrack. What? Let me make a 27-picture PowerPoint presentation for my latest TikTok. They say you guys are assholes. That's what they say. They say if you're doing any of these TikTok trends, you're a fucking loser. Maybe I'm just old. Maybe I'm the fucking loser. Perhaps I'm just projecting because I'm feeling old and dumb. But they say, or the people, how are there people still on the internet doing smile, blow up your eyebrows, drop your smile. That's your model face. How are people still making those videos today? And thinking it's funny. Like, ha, 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 I pushed the person out of the video. I pushed them in the face because I'm doing my model face. Jump off a bridge. How about that? Or the one they say, if you open up your hand and play the song, your guardian angel will close your hand. It's just because your fucking fingers close. You dumbasses. And I can't even tell. I'm sure most people know that, but I actually think a bunch of people believe these dumb fucking trends. And don't get me started on the Island Boys. I'm an Island Boy. See that? These two fucking assholes, Fly Soldier and Red 4X. I got the biggest bone to pick with these assholes. Fly Soldier and Red 4X. Have you heard of them? No, you haven't. If you have, turn this off. Unsubscribe, unfollow, unlike. I don't want you. I don't want to know you as a person. I don't want your money or your support. Get the fuck out of here if you're down with Fly Soldier and Red 4X. These guys look like, close your eyes. Remember Rugrats? Remember Cynthia? She was a doll for Angelica. That's what these motherfuckers look like. Spiky hair. They look like a Tim Burton character from Nightmare Before Christmas or Edward Scissorhands or some shit. These fucking kids go viral over the weekend for their video where they're two twin brothers who look like Trippy Red or what's the fucking one with the diamond in his head? Lil Uzi Vert, tattoos everywhere, dumbass haircuts. Cuban got white boys pretending to be Cuban, pretending to be rappers, pretending to be like island, Jamaican, reggae vibes, just mumbling in a hot tub. I'm an island boy, gonna name my sound. I'm an island boy, I'll be buying kill yourself. These guys fucking suck. They suck as human beings. If you saw them go viral, a bunch of people were making fun of Florida bunch of people were clowning on them. Nobody knows who they actually are. I, of course, do some fucking research on these assholes. Find out one dude was like caught on Instagram with his girlfriend with a bloody lip while she's punching him in the face and he's crying. And she's like, look at my lip. You busted my fucking lip. You're violent, you piece of shit. We got that from one guy. We got a bunch of other people saying that they snitched to the police. They are the worst musical acts of all time. And the reason I bring it up is not even because I'm mad at them. They are bags of shit. They are human fucking garbage. No talent, zero redeeming qualities. No reason anybody should ever put them on or like them or give them money or anything ever. But this is what we've cultivated. This is that the world of rap now. Because it started with some mumble rap and trap music, and all of a sudden it morphs into something that we fucking completely lost control. Rap music today is Jurassic Park. Jurassic fucking Park is rap music. We were good. We had rap music. It was like going to the zoo. It was fun. There were animals. People had a good time. And then it morphed and became modern, and we turned it into Jurassic fucking Park, where we mutated it. And we took some DNA from this part of the music, and we took some DNA from other parts, and we warped it, and we blew it up, and now it's out of fucking control. And we got the Island Boys running wild like the fucking T-Rex and the Velociraptors. And John Hammond's like, what have I done? And that's everybody who created this new generation of quote-unquote rap music, from the mumble rappers to the trap music to the whatever the fuck these guys are. The Zanny rap, SoundCloud rapper vibe, all of those people. Blah, the worst. And this shit goes viral. I guarantee you these guys are going to be on the top of the charts when they make an actual song called Island Boy. Because this is actually what people like. We have nobody to blame but ourselves. Nobody to blame but ourselves for the fucking Island Boys. So I got a bone to pick with all of us. Not me, not anybody over like 30, but everybody fucking else. The worst. All right, before we get into Spike Tour interview, one more segment here. I saw what I think is one of the funniest memes I've seen in a long time that I had to just go through. So this is brought to you by Roman. Roman's out here trying to save your dick, trying to make sure your dick is on point, whether that means getting it hard or making sure that it lasts long, or if it's about your skincare or about your health, your hair, anything that is helping out men's health. Like I said, I am basically a washed up middle-aged dad now. I'm going to need all the fucking help I can get. So I have no shame in being like, I take the pills so that my hair grow. I eat the gummies to make the hair on my head shine and stay put. I take the pills to make my dick hard. I use the swipes to make sure that my dick lasts. I take the pills to make sure I don't get wrinkles. I mean, I will do it all. Any prescriptions, any supplements, anything from Roman to make me be a better man, I'm doing it. Everything else in this world you take to be better, and all of a sudden guys get all like, oh, I can't. I understand the dick. The dick is one thing. It's like it's kind of embarrassing if you can't get your dick hard. But like your hair, you're embarrassed to take a pill to grow your hair? You'd rather just be bald and natural? Okay, loser. And then people are like, oh, but I can't get hard. It's like, well, you're not going to need to get hard if you don't have a fucking dick, if you don't have hair on your head. So let's not put the cart before the horse on this one. Anyway, once you can sign up for all these prescriptions with real doctors, all of that, but most importantly, non-prescription yet still FDA approved and scientifically proven to work are the Roman swipes. It's a little moist towelette. You open it up, little towel, you rub it on your dick, numbs you up. You can still feel it, but you last that much longer. It just gives you enough more time to like do a new position or make sure your partner comes or whatever. Make sure you get to like, you know, past, you know, the introduction if you guys are filming it. It's the secret to long. It's not a secret. They say it's the secret to long lasting sex. No, it's just the product. It's just the solution to long lasting sex. You can get your monthly swipes for just $5, monthly supply for just an Abraham Lincoln. When you go to getroman.com/Clancy, that's getroman, GetRoman.com/Clancy. And get your Roman swipes for just $5. I saw this meme floating around. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. Subscribe to the Kevin Clancy Show on the KFC Radio YouTube. You subscribe to the KFC Radio, you get all KFC Radio, all Kevin Clancy Show, all One Minute Man, every Friday Night Pints, everything I do in one spot on YouTube on KFC Radio. The meme that says JoJo Siwa is taller than Joe Rogan. It says Joe Rogan looks up to JoJo Siwa when he talks to her. which is mind-blowing. The thought that JoJo Siwa, our bisexual internet queen, who has taken the world by storm with her fucking ponytails and I don't even know what else. So JoJo Siwa, to me, is just like the bisexual girl of lesbians. JoJo Siwa, to me, is just a bisexual girl with ponytails. I don't know what she does. I don't know if she sings. I don't know if she acts. I don't know if she dances. I don't know if she's on the internet or on TV. All I know is that she's bisexual and she's got ponytails and she's 5'9", which is taller than a lot of people out here. Like, Joe Rogan was the butt of this joke. And it's funny because Joe Rogan is like this ultra macho, ultra masculine representation of, you know, all that is man. He's a hunter. He's a fucking caveman. He can lift. He can fight. He can kill. And that's all true. He still will absolutely whoop your ass, height aside. But it is funny in this world where girls won't even swipe on your dating profile or give you a date or look your way or let them buy you a drink, let them buy a drink for you if you're not, you know, 6 feet. And Joe Rogan standing here at 5'8" saying, "Hello, JoJo Siwa," looking up at JoJo. And so it's not just Joe Rogan. I ran through a list of people in this world who are shorter than JoJo Siwa. It's an astounding list. And it's hard, you know, people don't, you know, you don't see many people in real life. It's all on the internet or all on television or all in the movies. And then everyone else in Hollywood or everyone else who's famous, they're all short too. So you don't recognize it because they're not standing next to anybody tall. And then you realize that all these people who you're fucking intimidated by or afraid of, or you put on a pedestal, if they walked in the room, you'd be like, "Oh, hello. Hi, cutie. Hey, little pipsqueak. Let me shake your hand. Nice to meet you, little guy." JoJo Siwa towers over a list of people from all walks of life. How about, we'll just start with some people in Hollywood. Kanye West. JoJo Siwa taller than Kanye West. He's clocking in at 5'7", 5'8". One of this, you know, the toughest, baddest, I'm the richest, the coolest, I'll fuck your bitch, I'm a genius, I'm Steve Jobs, I'm Walt Disney. Can you even ride the roller coaster, Kanye? You're not even taller than JoJo Siwa. You've got Eminem, the baddest motherfucker in the world, a cool little 5'7". Jadakiss, Nas, all your favorite rappers, none of them tall. Jay-Z, 6'2". It's about it. Everybody else, itsy bitsy. Yeah, they'll fucking shoot you and kill you. Yeah, I'm not fucking with D-Block. No, I'm not going to say this to these guys' faces, but facts are facts. These guys are 5'6", 5'7", 5'8". How about Iron Man? Robert Downey Jr.? Yeah, what's up, JoJo Siwa? How's the air up there? Let me tie your shoes for you, JoJo. I'm already down here. I would have guessed Robert Downey Jr. is at least 6 feet tall. Barely 5'8". Tom Cruise, notoriously tiny, doing all his stunts and all that shit, 5'7". Zac Efron, barely cracking 5'6". That one we all knew. Zac Efron's been short for a while. We all knew that one. You know who was a surprising one? You know Scott Kahn? I don't know how to say his name. James Kahn's son, I think, Scott Kahn. He's been in like Ocean's 11 and all that shit. He's like pretty like brolic, dude. 5'5". I mean, we're talking like Hobbit level. Talking like JoJo Siwa will put you in his back pocket. Tom Holland, Spider-Man, midget. Bruce Lee, Jet Li, karate fucking masters. They're like 5'6", each of them. And don't even get me started on history. Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin would walk in the room and be like, "Holy shit, JoJo Siwa's fucking gonna back me down in the post." Joseph Stalin couldn't get a rebound playing JoJo Siwa in 21 if his life depended on it. Hitler was only 5'9". Hitler's eye to eye with JoJo. Hitler fucking almost killed the entire world. And you know who did almost, who actually killed the entire world? Genghis Khan. He was 5'1". Genghis Khan is known to have like raped and pillaged the entire planet Earth. He's like the grandfather of something like 60% of the whole fucking world. And he was barely 5 feet tall. How does that happen? How is that even possible? It's like, yeah, we know like the Danny DeVitos of the world are 5 feet tall, but Genghis Khan's barely cracking 5 feet. JoJo Siwa would, what you would think that Genghis Khan was JoJo Siwa's son. You'd walk around and be like, oh, is that your mommy? And he'd be like, actually, I'm the most ruthless rapist and dictator murderer of all time. Thank you very much. Alexander the Great. His name is the Great. The toughest, baddest motherfucker in that age. 5'6". All of these guys looking up to JoJo Siwa, the baddest bitch in the game. So just to rethink your frame of mind, all the short kings out there, do your best. Just know that some of the top dogs in this world, though, if you ever like rode the elevator with them or were in the room with them, it would be so intimidating if you're, you know, an actual adult male. Shout out to Dave Portnoy. I don't know. He's on a good day. He might be taller than, or on a bad day, he's shorter than JoJo Siwa. I'm not too sure. That depends on like which side of the sidewalk he's walking on the slope. Is he on the upside or the downside? All right, let's get into it. Today's interview with Robbie Berger is brought to you by 3Chi. Pop some 3Chi before this interview. Give it like 20 minutes. Come back and listen or watch me and Robbie have a conversation. It's fucking glorious, man. 3Chi is the product of the year. 2021 belongs to 3Chi in my mind. It's the revolutionary product that I am so happy to have found and very proud to be pushing, because it's a Delta 8 extract, which means it takes all of the good stuff from marijuana, meaning the euphoria and the high and the tingles and the giggles and the relief of anxiety and stress and pain and all that. And it leaves behind that paranoia. It leaves behind that sluggish hangover. I don't know how they do it. Usually these things are too good to be true. Not with 3Chi. Take half a gummy. That's all it takes. Listen to the serving sizes. Don't be a tough guy. Don't be like, oh, I smoke weed. This isn't real. 3Chi is the real fucking deal, man. They've got the gummies. They've got the edibles in the form of cookies, brownies, Rice Krispie treats. They've got jawbreaker type, like gummy, candy balls now. They've got every which way, every which form, tinctures, oils, edibles, vapes, any way you can get it in your body. It will get you high. You will fail a drug test. It is going to give you that euphoric feeling. This isn't some, you know, little product for your grandma. This is for the real deal, for the people who need it. You have chronic pain. You can't sleep. You need to relax. You want to enjoy yourself. 3Chi is the way to go. And right now, when you go to 3Chi.com, that's the number 3Chi.com, use the promo code KFC2021. You get 5% off plus free 5% off your order. You got to be 21 or older to order and enjoy. That's how you know it's the real deal. 5% discount, because you're going to be willing to pay full price for this shit, because it works every time. It's my favorite thing in the world. It's the only thing that keeps me going, is knowing that I'm going to get some 3Chi at night at the end of the day. So go to 3Chi.com, promo code KFC2021, get 5% off your order. Let's get into it. Robbie Berger on the Spite Tour on the Kevin Clancy Show. Enjoy it. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Leave a comment below or tweet at me. DM me on Instagram, whatever it may be. Let me know who else you want on the Spite Tour. At them, tweet at them, DM them, try to connect us. I want to get everybody on the tour, everybody on the show. And so let's do it. Robbie Berger on the Kevin Clancy Show. Enjoy.
All right. Kevin Clancy Show with Robbie Berger. One of the most interesting cats out there, man.
Appreciate that.
When I first found out about you and first, like, caught wind of you, saw some videos. When I hear that voice, man, when you are, and I'm just like, is he putting this on? But it's just how you talk, huh?
You know, it's fun. We had Riggs on my podcast, and he came on, and before we even said a word, he comes in, he goes, dude, love your voice.
Yeah,
I mean, all right, we're running.
It is, there's something about it. Like, it's unique, it's different, it's funny, and it's just how you talk.
Yeah, it's very East Coast.
Yeah,
as I'm sure you can hear now.
I love that.
And yeah, I mean, I live in LA now. Once I'm out there, as soon as I open my mouth,
they must think you're a fucking carnival act.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I like it's not the accent too. It's just the cadence and the speed. And
Kev, what do you think about? What do you think about the golf course with the,
you know? It's like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, I love it, man.
It's not bad.
I'm working on it. I'm working on my Robbie impression.
They do the impression of it, too. I guess it's, I kind of put it on a platter.
It's good to have an impressionable voice.
Totally.
Because then I feel, especially you start making a name for yourself. This is great, huh? What the fuck is this? The Barstool difference, huh?
Great.
I guess that's what you get on floor two, I guess.
I mean, the bar stool difference. You think that'll be going on the whole time? Probably. How bad is it?
It's not very noticeable. Like, these mics are good for it.
Okay. Well, we'll power through it. Leave it in there.
Hey, Robbie, you know, buddy, you try to plan and
we're
set things up, and this is how it goes.
Should we do 6:30?
I mean, unbelievable.
Wrap up, go have dinner and come back.
I honestly, if I didn't have my kids tonight, I would probably take you up on that. But the impressionable voice, I say, is good, because when you start to make a name for yourself, people know you. You get the TikToks and the lip syncing and all that. Sometimes I feel like my I don't want to call it skill, but my appeal a lot of times, I think, is I'm just like average. I'm just medium. I'm middle. I sound that way. I look that way. I talk, I act that way. And sometimes I wish I had a little something that separates, you know? And I think even just something as silly as like having a funny, different voice or style of talking makes a difference.
Yeah. You know what, too? But what you do have, though, you have the East. You still have the East Coast.
Yeah. I do forget that, because I've been East Coast my whole life.
Yes.
If I left, and then it would be more prominent.
If you took
a trip
out to California, and as soon as you start talking, people would tell. Plus, you got the mannerisms, too.
Yeah, and I'm a loudmouth fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And you know,
what's crazy with you is the one-minute man thing, it's like that's really you too.
Yeah,
it's just you,
yeah,
kind of how you're normally flowing.
That's why I like it too, and everything I do, but specifically that. I love the guys who do a character and have an act and a name and a look and all that, but you gotta do the character all
totally.
The time. Where it's like, I've always said, I'd rather, if my ceiling, let's say if you know you do a character, you do this whole thing, your ceiling's here. And I'm just kind of myself, but my ceiling's here, you know?
Right.
I'm okay with that, because me trying to put on an act,
totally,
my ceiling would be here. You know what I mean? So it's not as high, but it's higher than if I tried to be something I'm not.
And at the same time, then you kind of feel the need to be on.
Yeah, and that would drive me crazy.
Even if you go out, you see somebody, you know, that recognizes you, then you almost feel the need. Okay, now you got to take it back up to here.
Yep. I can
You're
just
a
be
one-way
myself,
street,
and
Kevin,
that's what they...
Yeah.
I really do. You have probably been the... No, you have been the biggest supporter of One Minute Man, and I really appreciate that. I mean, everyone I post here in the comments and stirring it up and reposting it, and it's been you and Nick and everybody. Like, I sometimes forget that, you know, what we're doing here is pretty successful and pretty big. And I'm a candle in the sun sometimes. I feel like I'm around Dave and part of my take. It's been Chicklin, some of these Call Her Daddy, some of these monster acts. But then, you know, hearing it from a guy like yourself, who I really respect, because you do it. You do it on your own, man. I mean, you've done it. You've done it on your own. And that is not easy. Like, I kind of did it. I feel like I could have done it, like, when I did it. You know,
yeah.
I got in 2009. If you told me now I got to, like, start from scratch and differentiate myself and find a way to get followers, and
yeah,
I don't think I could do it.
You know what's amazing, too?
It's, I don't, like, have a hook.
Yeah, it's like, well, once you, like, once, as you grow, like, you always set a goal for yourself. Okay, I want to have this amount of followers, whatever. And then when you get there, it's, you don't really get like that, like, okay, like, I made a
that
moment.
Sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, like, you know, I always thought that would come. Okay, you hit 100,000 followers, like, okay, now, like, it's like, no, because then it's just, like, on to the next thing.
So you have just broached my favorite topic in the world, and I talk about it probably too much. And I use this example too much, but my thought of it is always, I say to enjoy your swimming pool. And I mean that when, at least when I was younger and a kid, I'm like, my goal is to have a nice house with a pool, swimming pool.
Gotta have it.
Beautiful pool, right? And everybody I've ever known who had a pool, at any time I've had a pool, never swim in it.
No,
I rarely ever use it.
They don't use it.
And it's like, well, then who fucking cares?
Yeah.
And so I've learned that either... One, you have to adjust your goal, and that, you know, the swimming pool isn't actually, you thought you wanted the swimming pool, but you're looking for something else. Or two, enjoy your fucking swimming pool. Swim in the pool.
Use it.
I'll
take it a step even lower from the swimming pool. When I was out in Los Angeles, I didn't have air conditioning. It was, Kevin, I couldn't
What
have,
does that mean, brother?
I couldn't have anybody over.
I couldn't, you can't just get yourself a window unit?
I had, the thing was, I got such a good deal for what I had.
Yeah.
that one bedroom, which is very rare to find out there. So to me, it was like, okay, just suck it up through the summer. But the whole time I said, wow, it would be so nice to have air conditioning. Then I got a new apartment, and now I'm used to the air conditioning. I don't appreciate the air conditioning the way that I normally would. I know it sounds crazy.
No, it's not. That's not crazy. But it's, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Air conditioning is a basic human right at this point.
I agree.
So
air conditioning in the year, by the way.
It comes and goes. It's a big point of contention.
Yeah.
Earlier this summer, right when the weather starts to turn, they don't really put the AC on. This place was a fucking sauna. I was literally pouring with sweat. I was pouring water on my head and everything.
Yeah, see, that's tough,
and then I tried to throw a diva tantrum, and I was like, I'm the talent! I need some air conditioning! And they came and fixed it.
But you know
what, you need that. You know, it's good to have. My version of that was when I was an accountant, I was like, I just got to get out of the cube monkey life. And I that one has stuck with me. That one I do. When I get down, when I get stressed, when I forget about, you know, the big picture and I'm like, this is hard or I hate this job or whatever, I'm like, the goal was to get out and I got out. And everything else is icing on the cake. And there's been a lot of icing. I will, you know, a lot of nice icing on the cake. But I do think of that every time. And so, you know, that air, you know, you got to find, you got to have your air conditioner.
You got to find your air conditioner.
Yeah.
You got to find your air conditioner. But even like me coming in here, I came in here, I've been watching Barstool a long time. I come in here. And it's like amazing to me. I'm in awe. And even you were kind of seeing me like looking all around. And even to you, you could tell you were like, yeah, this is pretty.
Yeah, well, that it is. That's a good reminder, too. It's like this. It's such a isn't it such a bitch how much, you know, human nature is to just kind of forget or take it for granted or everything becomes your routine. Like, again, if you told me when I started that we'd be in this place and I'd have my own studio with people painting murals and designing rooms for me with all this equipment and shit and the guests coming through, I would have been like, I made it. And I like, that's it. If that's, you know, hit the lottery.
Yeah.
But it's just work for me. This is the place I come to work every day. And it's the place I complain about the air conditioning. I complain about the this and that rather than taking it and being like, this is unbelievable. And I think part of that is, you know, ambition to never get complacent. But there's a fine line between like I'm ambitious and I'm the grass is always greener and I'm taking things for granted and all that, and you got to find that sweet spot,
right?
You know?
But at least you could realize it too, and like you said, just kind of finding that space as well. But yeah, man, even for me, I kind of same thing like you with the accounting. I was working in hotels, and
what were you doing?
I was a guest services manager.
Oh God, at the Four Seasons. I'm just thinking of you. In like the polo with your shirt tucked in. How can I help
I
you?
Used to just walk around.
The ice machine is down the hall to the right. That's hilarious.
I would go nonstop. I would just be on the floor talking to guests.
I bet you're good at that though.
I was very good.
Yeah.
I was very good. Yeah. I was terrible academically. I was a disaster. But with the hotels, you really didn't need to have that great of academics to get into like
sales, baby. It's a sales type job where you're just selling, you know, you're not literally selling, but you're selling something and you're selling yourself. And so wait, let's back up then. So you're an East Coast guy.
Yeah.
Born in Jersey?
Born in Jersey.
Jersey. Go to school out here? What? Did you go to school?
Went to school at FIU in Miami.
Okay.
So a little all over the board.
And then did you, you went right to LA or what? You stayed in Jersey for a while after school? Were you trying to, were you like, I'm going to make it? Where's the Four Seasons, by the way?
So what I wanted to do, it was in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
So what I wanted to do, my cousin was the general manager of a really nice hotel out in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the life he had, the connections he had, sitting courtside at the Laker game.
Glamorous, huh?
Yeah. And you work at one of these hotels in a spot like that, everybody you meet is there's somebody.
Yeah.
And you're shaking a lot of hands. So I would always watch kind of how he was doing it. And I kind of thought to myself, I could do that. And especially me, not academics out of the picture. Like with hospitality, either have it or you don't.
Yeah. You absolutely.
So yeah. So I always saw him kind of living that life, shaking hands. I always thought, man, I could do that because it's just talking to people.
Yeah. It is funny to glamorize the idea of like, it's not on, it's a good one. It's an underrated one, but it's not usually on people's list. GM of the hotel is what I want to be when I grow up. No one's putting that on their kindergarten when I grow up.
No.
I want to be,
no.
You know what I did? I put, I want to be a baseball player.
Of course, that has to be.
Or I wanted to be a gas man. Because when I was a kid, this is back when everything was still cash. The dude pumping gas always had a lot of money. And I thought they were rich. I was like, I want to be a gas man. Which A, shows I'm a little bit dumb and didn't understand what's going on. B, shows I'm a little bit money driven. Because I'm like a 6-year old being like, I want the green. Give me that money.
So you guys are still, you're not pumping your own gas.
No. This was like a specific one. But there was a specific one where I grew up that was full service. But I can't stand when I'm in Jersey and you can't pump your own gas. They take their fucking sweet time, and I'm like, let me just do it myself, man. I hate it.
Now, when will that go away? You gotta think that'll go away at some point.
Is the biggest waste.
Is it a union?
It must be that they can't get rid of the job or whatever, right? They still need people to pump gas. I think it's crazy that we're even still like pumping, that you don't just pull up and something, you know, mechanically does it for you. It's crazy.
I can't imagine. Yeah, and I forgot about that. Jersey, you don't have to.
Oh, look at this East Coast guy already forgetting.
I know.
Already forgetting his roots, man.
It startles you if they come by you now, you know?
Oh, I can't believe you already forgot where you came from.
I know.
All right, so you got GM of the hotel, and you want to go out and do that. And does he kind of give you the hookup?
He did.
Yeah.
He gave me the hookup to the Four Seasons. He was going to take me to his hotel, which was like the most luxurious one.
Uh-huh.
But he's a bit of a bulldog, and it wouldn't have worked out because he knows I like to kind of fool around.
Oh, yeah.
With plus, the whole
you got your territory,
thing.
And you're growing your thing.
Exactly.
I'll put you over here.
So he put me over there in the Four Seasons. And, yeah, man, it just right out of the gate.
So this is 23, like out of school?
Out of school. I was a doorman, actually, at a hotel. I just wanted to get into a luxury hotel.
Tell me we're doing white gloves and a hat and a jacket. Yes!
Kevin, I'm telling you.
Yes.
You were not
welcome, Mr. McAllister. I love it.
You got that down. I didn't know you were working on that.
It just happened.
Yeah. you didn't get through my door without me opening it.
Yeah.
And a smile.
And you're remembering every name and where you're on vacation and what room you're staying in.
You know, a big thing was if you get in, you know, you have kids. It's like if you get in good with the kids, then the parents are good to you,
And are celebs coming in? Are they doing like back doors and
non-stop.
You know, they're
yeah. Nonstop. Yeah. So you're seeing a lot of stuff.
Who's the best? Who's the biggest you saw? Who's like the biggest you like kind of had a connection with or like got to know or shook some hands or anything like that?
Will Smith was the nicest guy on the planet.
Really?
He's staying with us.
Big name.
I mean,
there's stars, there's A-list, and then there's like that's the level of like he walks in the room and you go like,
oh, for sure. Will you get
like if we could get Will Smith in here?
You would be a little shook, huh?
Oh, it takes a lot for me at this point to get.
Yeah, because that's what I was going
to
say.
To get shook. The last time it happened to me was Bryan Cranston.
Mm.
We had, and it was over Zoom, so it was a little different.
He was very funny.
And he totally disarmed it and calmed me down.
Which was great.
I admitted that I was nervous. He goes, would you shut the fuck up?
That was great.
I was like, oh, that was cool.
And it probably, I mean, you were in the clear.
Totally. My heart rate stopped. Yep. I stopped sweating. We had a good time. Just a pro's pro, that guy. And he's no slouch, of course. Breaking Bad, in my mind, is the greatest, you know, show ever. And he's the main. But, I mean, compared to Will Smith. So that's even apples and oranges. I feel like Will Smith would be on a short list of maybe five that are like, you know, I would put like Adam Sandler.
Yep.
I would put maybe Jim Carrey, Will Smith.
Jim Carrey would be up there for sure.
Like on a list of like if we were somehow to land them and they came through the door, I would be like.
You know what, too? What's good to see is you saw a lot of guys, and I'm sure you guys probably see it too, but you saw a lot of guys that you looked up to, whether it's athletes, actors, and they ended up being assholes.
Yep.
And he's a cool guy.
Because he went a little Scientology for a minute there.
He did. It got a little concerning.
But I almost feel like he recognized it and came
reeled
back.
It back a little bit. You're right
like,
about that.
Like, you know when if you've been in a relationship and you break up, you get out of it, and you kind of go like, oh, man, that girl sucked. Like, how come you guys didn't tell me? Or how come I didn't notice it? When you're in it, you can't see it. I feel like that was his Scientology
trip.
You're
so right, because he was kind of getting away from us.
And the movies he's doing were weird, and his kids were getting weird. And then all of a sudden he's like, let me make funny Instagram videos. And it was like, back.
And
know?
He's just got – there's an aura about him. There's a certain swagger to him.
You don't really hear any bad stories about him either. I wonder if that's – you know, he was kind of like The Rock before The Rock, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Like, who didn't like Will Smith, you know?
For sure.
And I'm on a quest right now to find a bad story about The Rock. Anybody, you know, we interviewed Rob Corddry. We've interviewed a couple wrestlers, some people that we had Rocky Dale Davis on here who knows The Rock. And I'm like, give me one thing, one time that he just wouldn't sign an autograph or he farted in the car and tried to blame it on you. Something. And I can't get a single
story. Nothing on him.
And I feel like Will Smith might have been the same. Like all these years, I don't think, you know, there was, he had a little thing with the Aunt Viv situation on Fresh Prince. Or, I think she was as much to blame. That was just, you know.
You know what was tough for him? What was very tough? They did the red table.
Oh. But that wasn't like, that was, you know, I thought Jada looked bad.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that Jada was, you know, she was the one who fucked that other guy and was, you know, like, I thought that he didn't look the coolest, but I didn't think he was like a bad dude in that or like a bad story.
No, not at all. But the internet did what the internet does.
Yeah.
And with the way that it was hurt. Put.
That was like, stop talking. You don't talk about Will Smith that way. You shut your fucking mouth.
And there's nothing you could do.
No, I felt, and you know what? That's a humbling experience for him and a good reminder that like, if Will fucking Smith can be
cheated on,
can be the, you know, when they say there's every day there's one star on Twitter and the goal is to never be the star, never be the focus. If even Will Smith takes his turn in the blender where he's getting cheated on, he's the getting clowned, he's, you know, Jada Pinkett's fucking some, I don't even know, some R&B singer instead. And the same thing, and the other way with girls, with Beyonce, Jay-Z. Even Beyonce can get cheated
that's
on and get publicly embarrassed.
And I like how you did it both sides.
Right, because it goes both ways.
Goes both sides.
But I mean, if it can, you know, so if you're ever down or being like, wow, I'm a fucking joke or I'm getting made fun of, I went viral for the wrong reasons, it happens to literally everybody, even the cream of the fucking crop, man.
And you know what? It's just, anybody could be in the line of fire at any given time.
That's kind of what makes it fun, though, you know?
It is.
It's like, you know, Will Smith it can be on your level for the day, and maybe you go viral and you're on his level for the day.
Nowadays, too. I mean, it can go like that.
Oh, real fast.
What I think you guys have really wrote the book on, though, and I said this when you came on my show, is you guys have wrote the book on, you do a great job of it, Dave has done an unbelievable job of it, owning it.
Yeah, oh.
Because once you take it on the chin.
It's so hard to do, I guess. But it's so clearly the right play.
Yeah.
And I can't believe how many people still don't do it.
And do you feel, I mean, you got to feel good when you do take, like, in a way, it kind of like.
Well, you have to understand that what you're doing is like almost like a tactic. Like, if when you put your hand up and say, like, yeah, I'm a dick, your natural instinct is to defend yourself.
Right.
And when you have done something that's either actually indefensible or I can defend myself, but the internet won't let me because the internet just wants to make me the butt of the joke. And no matter, I could come with the receipts, I could have the evidence, the examples, they want to clown me. So just go through the fire instead of starting to try to block the fire. And when you're in the fire, it hurts, it's hot, you don't like it. But understanding you're about to come out the other side.
Yeah.
And it's the smart move. And then it feels good. But it takes a very seasoned veteran and an experienced asshole to go through it and know this is the best play.
It is by far the best. And I really think, too, that you guys have kind of wrote the book on that, of just being able to take it on the chin.
I think writing the book's a good way to put it. Like, there's not many people that I – do you know Ross Bolin from he used to write for Total Frat Move when they were around, and now he started Bolin Media. He just does, you know, blogging, podcasting, all that. But he wrote the Total Frat Move book, and he did most of their writing. So he was on the internet the same time we were. And Total Frat Move was kind of like a Barstool competitor. And he's really like one of the only guys that I say like can speak from experience and did what we did, you know? Everyone else, it's like there's big radio people, personalities.
Yeah.
There's big writers on, you know, the internet. There's movie stars. There's this. But there wasn't anybody doing what we did. And so I was like kind of blazing the trail. And even within Barstool, Dave did it this way and Dan did it this way and I did it this way. So I'm like really writing my own. And I'm like, I don't know who to turn to when I fail, when I'm going through a divorce, when I'm getting embarrassed, when I'm like, I'm making this up as I go, good and bad.
And two, you're doing it different to where you're doing it in front of the public, which is of course never easy. I mean, look, of course that has its good sides, but
I have no interest in it. Do you like the idea of being like, if I could do everything I do, make the money I make, and somehow you know, snap your fingers, magic world, not be recognized and known, I would do that in a heartbeat. Do you like the attention?
I'll be honest with
you. You like it?
Yeah.
I love the honesty, too.
I do.
You like it.
Somebody recognizes me in the street.
Oh, that feels good. Sure, sure.
And like,
But if I could tell you, like, you're going to make it, if I could give you the option of what I just said, what would you say your goal, your dream is? Is it to be a Joe Rogan type podcast, or do you want to get into movies, or like what's the main goal for you?
It would be TV and be like a next like Jimmy Kimmel type thing.
So you host the next Tonight Show, the internet version of it. By the way, let me tell you this: if that's what you want to do, do it in the right. Like the fact that we keep trying to just do the Tonight Show and not evolve or adapt.
Yeah.
It's like it's the first person to do a late night show that's actually good, because now it's the same interviews and dumb bits.
I totally
agree.
It's like
do one that's – it airs at 11:30, but you're kind of talking shit and you're cursing and you're fucking around, drinking.
As talented as these guys are, it almost feels in a way it's kind of recycled.
Yes.
It's like,
and it's like, why are you trying to do what Johnny Carson did in like the fucking –
which, by the
100
way,
years ago.
Is not an easy thing
no,
to do.
No, and I'm not taking
like,
away
from
that.
Do it your own way.
Right. Like, it's like this – why every other show has evolved and changed.
Yeah.
Except that it's the same desk and the same couch and the same guest, the A block and the B block
the
and the C block.
It's like it's always been the same.
It's crazy. So you should do that. But if I could give you the choice of you host it every night, you're making millions, all the guests coming through, and somehow, some way, when you walk out on the streets, just nobody knows you. You go home to your family. You can go out to the movies. You can go to a ballpark. Nobody mobs you, but you don't even get the occasional picture either. You're just or you get all that and you're like, I can't live a normal life because when I go out it's just crazy. Do you want the attention or not?
First off, this is why you come down to sit with Kevin Clancy. Because you make me think. You know
the hypotheticals
I mean?
Are – some people think of it as a crutch and a hacky thing. I think it's
that.
Amazing because I think it scratches the – you know.
I love it, whether it's bizarre or something like this. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be dead honest with you. I would take to where I got to go out and I would get money.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I love it.
Because a big reason of it for me, and this is the God honest truth, the ability to be able to make somebody's day by just saying hello.
Yeah.
Or just taking
that part is cool.
And to see that, and not to say to me that it happens all the time, it does come up from time to time for sure. That to me is like the most. You just can't beat that.
It's a cool feeling. In the beginning, it's very fun because it is this level of like ego, and you're like, "Holy shit!" You know,
here I go. Yeah,
and then when you first get the like, you helped me, or like you got me through a tough time, that it like always blows my
that
mind.
That hits deep for me.
I'm like, "Holy shit!
I get
really,
emotional.
Dude?" You know?
Yeah, I get emotional.
And I really like that. Then, like, I went out to Saratoga. And One Minute Man is a whole new world because, you know, people listen to the podcast and read the blog and that got attention, but everybody's got Instagram.
Now, that's got to be a hot spot for stoolies, too.
I mean, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I go to a hipster spot in Brooklyn, nobody knows who I am. I go to, you know, Broadway, nobody knows who I am. I go to the Upper East Side, I go to Murray Hill, I go to Saratoga, people know.
Whole different ballgame.
I'm seeing Barstool flags and shit like that, you know.
Yep.
And I got, you know, mobbed. My friends were making a joke. It was like a communion line. I was like, you know, sitting there. And this one guy says to me, thank you for all the years of giving me endless pleasure. And I said, brother, we got to work on the phrasing here. We got to work on the delivery. This is a little fucking weird, pal. You know, and then he's fucked up. He's drunk, and I was like, you know, and my friends were in the middle of talking. I'm at a bachelor party having out with my friends, and then you know, and things like that. I was like, I could deal without this. You know,
yeah.
So, and this is, by the way, we're talking about a sliver of a fraction of what real celebrities and entertainers go through. You know?
Right.
Imagine being like a Kardashian or a Kanye West or something like that.
Yeah, and that's like a whole different,
you know, Britney Spears. You know, I'm not talking about you lose your life because of fame type level.
That's
Michael Jackson, Britney Spears, Bieber type shit.
Different ball.
But you do like the pictures and the autographs.
You know,
we were.
I was in Nantucket a month ago, and a lot of my following is like Northeast, and the friend that I was staying with, he said, you know, this is a big part of your demographic in Nantucket. Me, I didn't really see that because I just thought it's like, it's an island. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I can't imagine. And people were coming up a lot and it was just so cool. But the biggest thing was we were on an island. There's no Chick-fil-A on the island. And I'm obsessed with Chick-fil-A. I talk about it in the videos. A kid comes up to me and he hands me.
No way.
And the way he slipped it, it was like a drug deal.
Uh-huh.
And he slips me the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, how the hell did you get this?
Yeah.
On the, he said, I flew it in.
Get the fuck
Kevin,
out.
It was the worst Chick-fil-A sandwich I've ever had.
I mean, it was probably, so, you know, but 3 hours it. Old, freezing
yeah,
cold.
Yeah, yep, it was yep, just like, holy yep. shit, that to me was like the coolest.
It's
nuts.
Well, you know, when you're doing GM hospitality work for a hotel, or even prior to that, were you ever thinking I'm going to be, you know, famous, quote unquote, or known? Like, did you ever have, were you a theatrical kid? Did you say, you know, or you know, was your senior superlative, you know, most likely to be famous or something? Because some people are either gunning for it or are at least like built for it. You know, like people like, totally. Oh, this guy, he could be famous. He could handle himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought I would be something like that. So I never planned or prepped for it.
And then it just
happened.
Yeah.
So now, and some things I very clearly didn't handle well. Some things I've learned to handle. But I, you know, when you are like a movie star, you're practicing, you know, you're coming up on acting or singing.
Right.
You're like, I'm working on my vocals and shit, but you're also thinking about, how am I going to handle the press? How am I going to handle the fans?
Right.
And I've got an agent and a team that's prepping you on how to talk and how to.
Yeah, the whole time.
I didn't
time
do any like, of that. Okay, I just was like.
Yeah, if I make it where I want to be, that is going to happen. That,
right.
That is
this
gonna
was,
be a thing.
I never, you know, even when I was doing it, I was like, you know, we were anonymous in the beginning. Nobody even knew our names or our faces. I'm like, I could do this forever behind the scenes. And I never prepared. I never made a game plan. I never said, let's do it this way because when I get this big, you know. Like, I totally regret putting out as much personal information as I did because at the time I was like, nobody, it's good for business and nobody knows me. And then, but you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube once you make that decision.
No,
it's all
but,
out
but
there.
That, it does kind of suck because at the time it's like, you never thought that.
No, I mean, but that's what I mean. Like, someone like Dave who was like, wanted to be famous and was gonna be famous, like hellbent, probably thought to himself, like, I'm gonna do it this way because when we blow up, it's gotta be like that.
Right.
And he did put his personal shit out there. He just doesn't care.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if I was a little less pessimistic and a little more optimistic and a little more like, we are gonna make it, I would probably have behaved differently.
Yeah, and kind of mapped it out accordingly.
Yeah. Yep.
I knew that I saw things in a different way. Like, I just... Again, academically, I was never good, but like humor and different, I just saw the world kind of in like a like a Jerry Seinfeld type of way. Not by any means that I'm comparing.
No, of course, but the observational.
But like, yeah, the observational type stuff. I was, I won Most Likely to Brighten Your Day and then Best Sense of Humor in high school.
That's what I mean. At least it was, there
so,
was something
yeah,
there.
I there was definitely something there.
You know what I
won?
Biggest heart.
Is that what you won?
Crazy town. Yeah. Crazy town. Which was basically like, you're friendly to the fat people. You know, I was like nice to the guy sitting alone, the Steven Glansberg. I occasionally sat down with him, you know? So, but you know, if you look at some of my, you know, content, big as heart.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Like I always say to you, like, we were texting, I always say, you're an easy guy to root for. Because
well, you know, it's funny you say that, though, because some people view me totally the opposite. And forget about just, you know, other certain reasons why. There are people who are just like, fuck, you got a punchable face and I hate your voice and I want you to fail. I'm like, shit, man, I don't know. I'm just kind of out here shooting the shit. I don't know why.
Yeah, and you got to be pretty prone to that by now.
Yeah, at this point. Are you at the point where, like, you have haters?
I'll be honest with you. It's rare that I get it.
Yeah.
It's very rare.
How do you handle when you do?
I'll show you. This came in last night. No joke. This I got a kick. I'm the kill him with kindness thing.
Uh-huh.
So regardless.
Follow him back and be like, thanks for the, you know.
Because my thing is, no matter what, if you respond and you respond like, you know, you go back at him, you're never going to win.
No.
You're
That's like I said about, the, you know, the Will Smith thing. It's like. You could come with the answers and the receipts and the evidence, but they want to make fun of you, so they're just going to look the other way.
And you're never going to
You can't
win.
Convince the haters. The people who like you already don't care about whatever it is the issue is.
Yeah.
And the people who don't like you are just going to hate on it no matter what you can prove or disprove otherwise.
Plus, too, like, to me, the kill them with kindness, like, I feel better doing it.
Yeah, because you know that they're going, oh, fuck.
Now, I got this last night, I swear to you, okay? You ready for this? I can be pretty vulgar here, no?
Yeah, let it rip, okay. Man, sure.
Randomly came last night, and it doesn't come often, but it does come, okay? He goes, your girlfriend must not have a pulse. How in the fucking world is a woman interested in your little dick slanging, content-stealing, brown-eyed fuck? You're a pussy. Go look at your high school yearbook before you talk back. Money won't make you unugly. I'd love to mash the like button on your fat nose. This is out of nowhere. There was no conversation before. So I responded.
Is that a DM or a comment
this
or what?
This is a DM.
Oh my
so I responded,
God.
Sorry, brother. Didn't mean to upset you. The next day, he responds, you're the man.
Every time.
Perfect response
fucking
to a miserable,
assholes.
Drunk troll like
no,
myself.
No, I hate that, though.
I do,
because
too.
Because it's like
double
stick
down
to your fucking guns.
Yeah.
I wish you wrote back, like, yeah, exactly, you little pussy. You don't even have a fucking backbone. I hate the, like, LOL, I was just joking.
And
I'd love to buy you
a
beer sometimes. Like, I would take that beer and I would bottle you, you fucking asshole. Like,
and
what
I
is
should,
that?
I should have, like you said, like, no, okay, now who's the pussy now?
Yes, like, yes, I've done that before. I've done that where I'll be like, you know, like, yeah, thanks, man. Like, thanks for the feedback or whatever. And they're like, hey, dude, like, sorry. And, then I just write back, shut the fuck up, you asshole. And then they're like, oh, yeah, well, I don't take it back. And it's like, okay, let's go. Because it's like, you didn't send that hoping that it was going to be well received.
Yeah.
You hoped to hurt my feelings and ruin my night. And when I didn't let it, you backtracked. Fuck you.
But I like that what you did. Thanks for the feedback.
Yes, whatever.
Leave
you know,
it
just
that,
some little
then,
something like.
And then boom.
Mm-hmm. Like then I call you the biggest fucking asshole in the world.
Yeah.
I you know, the anonymous trolling. But you know what's interesting about that? Very telling there, being like, money doesn't make you ugly. That dude is already thinking, Bobby's succeeding. He's going to make money. But that doesn't count. It wasn't a post about how you're making money. He's already thinking that.
I know. And you know, they always say you can't please everybody. It's true. It's like, and I really am not, I don't do any really I'm
pretty
dumb. Really stay out of all of that.
Smart though. There's two things I really regret. One thing I just had pinpointed as an issue. I do regret being too self-deprecating. I think that we, like me and Feidelberg, really clown ourselves. And I think that's my type of humor and my type of friendship.
That.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think on the internet, I should have been a little more like, we're fucking doing well here. You know what I mean? It's like we clowned and talked down about ourselves to the point
like
that other people started to believe in it and think that too, you know?
Right.
I wish I was a little more like, it's like, I can't make fun of me. You can't make fun of me. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. And then the second thing is not really anything I would change. Wait, what was it? It was the self-deprecating. And what did you just say? You said, oh, fuck. What did you just say?
That I'm not.
Oh, down the middle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would never change this, but I definitely realized I'm polarizing and I always give my opinion on every matter because I can't stop myself. And I, you know, especially when we were really worried about like growing followers, I would say like, I fucking hate Derek Jeter, and I would lose like all my Yankee fan followers, you know?
Yeah.
So I would always set myself back, but it would rally like Mets fans or the people who agree with me.
Totally.
But sometimes I was like, you know, you don't have to give your extreme opinion on every fucking issue, you dummy. Maybe, you know, soften it and be a little more inclusive.
But you know what, though? You know, the only thing I will say, though, Kevin, and I'm sure, of course, you're going to – shit, I probably thought it would be bash Derek Jeter. I probably would have thought about it.
Yeah, you'd be like, fuck you,
probably
too.
Probably would have unfollowed you. I told you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But
– he's a terrible teammate, Bob. That's the problem.
He was a great teammate.
He's a terrible teammate.
How is Derek
when,
Jeter
– tell me the
– how is
Alex Rodriguez – was fucking floundering and needed a lifeline, needed a buddy to just throw him a fucking life vest and give him a hand when the media was all over him and when he's getting crushed. Never once did Derek Jeter have A-Rod's back. First of all, Derek Jeter should have said, I'll move to third base. You're the greatest of all fucking time. He held his position even though he stunk at it and you know he was bad in the field.
Stink.
And he stunk. He's one of the worst defensive shortstops of all time.
He didn't stink.
That's a fact. It's a statistical fact. He's one of the worst defensive shortstops of all time. He should have moved. And then when A-Rod either gets caught with the steroids or he's struggling because he's not Jeter or he's not clutch, never once did Derek Jeter step up like a captain should and say, you know what? Alex Rodriguez is the most talented fucking baseball player of all time. You guys are lucky to even be in his presence. Shut the fuck
that
up.
Is so
he
ridiculous.
Let that and, guy and drown
now,
out
let
there.
Let me ask you something. Do you think A-Rod was a good teammate?
No.
But a captain
should be like, I'm going to get the best out of this guy. And we're, the fact that that infield only won one championship is deplorable and disgusting.
I'll give you that.
And Derek Jeter should have been there to get more out of that team. And he should have stepped up and said, get off. When they were calling him unclutch and all that shit, he should have said, are you fucking kidding me? This guy is the greatest of all time.
I might unfollow you now.
See, this is what I do. This is what I do. Instead of just going like, oh, there's a Yankee fan? Yeah, you know, you're right. He's a pretty good player.
I'll be honest, and I know you guys work. I can't stand A-Rod.
He had his glow up moment when he became a broadcaster. He kind of turned the tides, and then especially as being a Mets fan when he was like going to buy the team and I saw some of his antics, I was like, get the fuck out of here.
And by the way, are we going to act like we're surprised about J-Lo and him breaking up? That was the most set in stone thing.
But how great that hit her, him, Ben and J-Lo are back together.
Fantastic.
The only thing better, if J-Lo and Puffy could get back together, then you really get my heart going. That to me is the greatest couple. But that one's gone.
That ain't lasting.
That one's gone.
That one would not last.
You know what? Neither is Ben and Jen.
Probably not.
They are so toxic and so sexy and romantic. Like,
it's so
like they can't
though.
They can't stay away from each other. 20 years apart, and they find their way back, and they're gonna fuck each other's brains out, and then they're gonna fight, and there's gonna be a public meltdown, and they'll probably break up, and then they're gonna come back together again.
Have you ever seen somebody fluctuate with going about to go through a tailspin and then thriving like Ben Affleck? This guy doesn't know what he wants.
Especially, he was on the verge of one this time.
Oh,
the coffee spilling and the cigarettes and all that. And I was like, we're about to see him in jail.
Now.
And then all of a sudden, you know what it is? He got that J-Lo pussy back. I mean, there are certain that guy and probably that girl can't live without fucking that other person.
You know, it's amazing.
They need it.
It's amazing how I get, you know, they say, you know, you could spend money to look good and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is to do what she's doing at 52. Did you see that video she put recently on the yacht?
Forget that.
That's beyond money.
Yeah, and it's like, she got work done for sure.
For sure. I believe she
works her ass off for sure, but there's also just something like genetic about
it. It's a genetic thing.
And also, I do think, you know, it helps. People say you get your nutritionist and there's plastic surgery. Then there's like, I eat gourmet healthy meals my whole life and I get the best skincare and all that shit.
Yep.
But then I think there's just something about your genetics. And I think there's something about I succeed and I'm a boss and I crush this life. So much so that I'm going to live longer and look better. You know, you're stressed about things, and so you get fat and ugly, you're pale. That doesn't happen to me. I own this life. I'm beating life.
Yeah, and that's the way that it should be, though.
I wish
it
was that way.
If you had it, I mean, you just don't. It comes
very few people do.
Very few people.
Because even there are famous, successful people who get beat down by life.
Yeah.
And then there are the ones who own life.
I don't think it's crazy to say that J-Lo looks better at 52 than 42.
I don't think it's crazy to say J-Lo looks better at 52 than like 22 sometimes. You know, you see her on like
a
Living
Color. I
don't
think that's a crazy comment either,
by the way. And it's like she's always been beautiful, but I mean, I would say her peak was like when she first started making pop hits, like Love Don't Cost a Thing and the Tonight video.
Jenny from the Block.
She took ass mainstream.
Yes.
Like there was Baby Got Back, and of course, like, you know, white people hadn't caught on to asses yet. But J-Lo was the link.
That's great.
You know, because it was like she's Puerto Rican, right? She's kind of white, kind of black, kind of in the middle.
A little bit everything.
We all can let, and it was big, but not too big.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, Ludacris said it, man, the new phenomenon, white women with ass. And J-Lo was the one that bridged that gap between white girls and black girls. Now everybody's got a booty.
That's an amazing thing
for an ass guy like myself.
J-Lo took ass mainstream.
She did, man. That can I tell you? My 18th birthday.
I could talk J-Lo all day.
I was dating a girl in high school. She was a couple years older. I was a freshman. She was like a junior, sophomore, senior. And she was a firecracker.
Yep.
She taught me some things in all departments in life.
Love this.
And she was always, I mean, she was an aggressive one in the bedroom, right?
Now, so she's a sophomore?
She's like, at this point, she's a
Well, at this point,
she's a senior. You're a sophomore.
Yes.
So she's taking a leap of faith here.
Yes, and she's.
And you look great.
And well, I mean, I don't know about that. Oh, I look great because I'm dating an older girl. Yes, for sure. But, I'm learning some things in the relationship and romance department that I probably shouldn't be learning for a long time.
Yeah.
So she's very open about it, and I'm talking to her about. I'm like, I love this girl's ass. Like, J-Lo is like doing things to me. Like, and she was a pretty curvy girl. And so we're just having these open conversations that I don't think like a 16, 17, and then 18-year-old guy should be having. For my 18th birthday, she got me a birthday cake with J-Lo on the cover of Maxim magazine wearing like the pink ruffle booty shorts printed onto the cake. Brings it to my house in front of my mom. Like, here's the cake I got
from
Kevin.
And then you
got to
blow it out.
I got to blow out J-Lo's ass. I mean, what are we doing here, babe?
You're saying, relight the candle. Would you light him again?
Let's do it a couple times.
Wow, so you were a big, big J-Lo guy.
A huge
Because something
J-Lo
hit
guy.
You. When you started talking J-Lo, he pepped up
in
the seat a
little bit. And I love the Ben Affleck. J-Lo, it's an inspiration for the toxic couple everywhere. If you're a guy who's like fights, you're fighting and breaking up and you're like, you ruin each other's life, but then you're also like, but there's something about them. Just know that maybe 20 years from now, you could get back. So it's almost like break up with them, go live your life healthfully, whatever. And then 20 years later, you might still fuck.
Well, it's like one thing when they say, you know, maybe you're breaking up, like maybe down the road. Well,
yeah.
That never happens.
But it never happens. But then
it did.
20 years.
And what I didn't like, though, is the Ben thing's phenomenal.
Yeah.
The A-Rod thing, you're seeing the kids get involved with the kids. They have no idea the breakup's coming.
Yeah.
We do. That's going to happen.
You know, it's so funny you say that. I don't think that their relationship was like put on for the public. But it's like it was so family oriented and business oriented, whereas those two, it's just them on a yacht, it's them in the car,
and
it's just them fucking.
Wild.
It's about them, you
let
know.
Them and I'm sure she makes time for the kids when it's
sure.
Time
I'm not saying it's bad, but it's like it's
days,
separate.
She has the days where the nanny's got him, and she's gonna go.
Yes,
it's
there's
be
you know there's Jennifer
the
Lopez, and then there's like Jenny from the Block.
Yeah,
she's
and,
with
and
Ben,
she's still
you
on
know.
The block.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
she's on the six still, you know. I love it, man. There was that, and do you know Vita Guerra? Vita, where's my
See,
phone?
That might be a little, Vita is that Guerra a before
was,
my time
she
type
was
thing?
Not, we're gonna pull that
one. Sounds like a porn star, no?
Yeah, kind of. She,
Vita Guerra.
She was
like the first Italian porn star.
She was like on Stuff and Maxim and FHM magazine. Is that before your time?
Maxim, no.
There was
Maxim,
two other ones called Stuff magazine and FHM, For Him magazine. They were the same exact fucking thing. And Vita Guerra was on the cover of, let's say, I'm not sure which one it was. She taught me what ass was. Like, J-Lo brought it mainstream, and then I saw Vita Guerra, and I was like, oh, this is a real ass. This doesn't have the exact picture I'm looking for, but, like, you know, you get the picture. Like
I do get
the
picture.
And you know what? Right now you have, like, Instagram brain where, like, everybody looks like this.
Yeah, but no,
but
there's
like
not as
the
much.
Late, in, like, early 2000s, they weren't looking like this.
Yeah.
You know? And I was, like, that – I was probably – no, this might have even been, like, late 90s because I was, like, a teenager still, like, in high school. It was around that same time. I was, like – oh, I'm an ass man. You know, as a kid, I learned I'm into that.
Before you blew out that J-Lo candle, you knew. And your parents at that time knew.
Yes.
He's an ass man.
Yes, exactly that, man. Exactly that. It was like, oh, okay. I've seen the light. My dad probably got it. My mom was probably like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, only with Kevin Clancy, you could go from hotels, you could go to J-Lo's ass.
Oh, we're talking about me. I'm supposed to be talking about you, but
yeah. No, this list was great. I mean, look, I love it.
It's a great conversation. Yeah. I could go on for hours, days about that stuff. But so, all right, so you're doing the hotels, though, and then how do we get into the internet world? How do we get into the content world? What's going on there?
Well, so when I was working at the hotels, I was on the side putting out Instagram videos and, you know, for fun. And I would do the comedy sketches, go up, do the Instagram videos and stuff. And it was starting to really build up.
Yep.
I had a video with me at Riviera, which was a golf course, and I was heckling golfers.
Okay.
And Bubba Watson. And in a way to where not like I was being vicious, but in like a lighthearted way to the players were getting into it.
Right.
But that
with the intent of like, I'm trying to go viral and make a name for myself and get, or just like, I'm a funny guy who makes funny videos on the internet.
Yeah, I knew I was making videos and the video would be funny, but we were so drunk at the event that we didn't know how good it was till we got home and kind of sobered up because we were just having fun out there.
That's always the best kind, natural, you know?
And then it really started to build, but then it got interesting because I'm a manager and I have about 50 employees under me. And they're starting to see my Instagram videos and stuff. And when you come into the Four Seasons, you got to be, you know, look, they let me do my thing, but you got to be pretty proper.
So they knew, did you inform them or there's someone just following you and they kind of pick up on it?
It was just one after the other.
We get what's going on here.
Yeah. And then, so it started in a way to kind of be like a little bit of a conflict of interest because, you know, you got people under you, but then you're going out and you're doing these videos and stuff like that. But yeah, man, and then it just started to continue to build.
What I love most about you is you got some numbers for an independent guy.
Yeah.
150,000 plus followers. It's like, I mean, that's what I had pre One Minute Man but that was with Barstool. I didn't use my Instagram much, but like, you know, had Barstool in the handle, had been at Barstool for a decade.
Yeah.
Had the same number of followers you've put up by yourself. That's impressive. I mean, Instagram, it's a cheat code when you're a hot girl or you got some gimmick. But if you're just an average white guy trying to just be funny, you're out there in a sea of like millions. And, you know, to cut through that and grab six figures is fucking really good.
I appreciate it. Yeah, and it was good too because I had a job and like it was something on the side. So there was never this sense of, oh my God, like I got to ramp it up. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, like it could kind of just naturally come. I didn't have to force it.
I know that the leap of faith story is the sexy one. I took my balls and I jumped off the cliff. I didn't have a pot to piss in. I was sleeping on the floor. I didn't have an apartment. That's all well and good. It's a sexy story for Hollywood. I think that the more realistic and also the more like impressive way to do it is, and this is kind of what I did when I was working at Deloitte, I like seamlessly weaved the two to the point that it's like I never had a down year where I was eating Kraft singles for dinner. I was like, I always had an appointment, I always had a job, I always had a paycheck, and I snaked it to the point that they overlapped and then I could ditch the lame one and start the new one without ever having a, you know.
When you were telling me about that, I was thinking that same too. And it's like, of course, the story is great when you say you took that leap of faith. But I really do feel like the right way to go about it.
Don't ever just like, if you gotta be supremely talented and ultra confident to be like, I don't have a paycheck right now. I gave up my benefits. I gave up my.
And just
my,
go.
You know, it's like you. And some people need that. I guess that depends on your motivation. Some people need that to be like, I don't have a safety net. And that safety net sometimes stop you from being ambitious because you could rest on your laurels. I had enough drive and ambition that I was like, this is not going to slow me down.
Yeah.
But I need this paycheck. Actually, if anything, I probably wouldn't have got. I would be like, I can't not have a paycheck. I'm going to go back and get a shitty job. You know, I needed that. So I think if you can, that's the ultimate snake it's a you make it, if you ask me.
When you took the leap, you knew you were ready.
Yeah.
Because you said Dave contacted you. He needed a guy.
But even that, for 2 years, I still kept my other job where I was like, this is fun and I like the paycheck, but it's not like good enough yet. And then when it finally was like, okay, this is going someplace.
Yeah.
That was my pay cut, but it wasn't major. It was like,
and that's when it kind of hits you. I'm sure, like, shit, like, okay,
now we go. Yeah. Now, you know, but I wasn't going to do, he wanted me to go earlier. Quit. I'm sure he wanted me to do full time earlier, but I was like, no, not yet. You're not there yet, or you're not paying me enough yet. And then when you finally did, like, okay, now let's do it.
When I was working at the Four Seasons, and of course, I've been a Barstool guy my whole life, like, followed you guys since it was really around. Like,
right.
And Liz came by the hotel.
Oh yeah.
So Liz came by the hotel and she was doing a thing with Sean Merriman. Mm-hmm. They were doing the wine walk.
Yep.
Yeah. And she just could not have been nicer. And I remember watching her and of course I noticed her right away. Mm-hmm. And she could not have been nicer. And I remember I was asking her questions, I said, you know, I think I could work for Barstool one day. Like that's my goal. And, you know, of course, she was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, go for it. Could not have been nicer about it. I was like, you know, I really think I could work for you guys one day. And then she leaves. And a week later, Dave messages me. He's like, hey, you know, I think you're funny. What's next? And I remember being in my office and I saw the text from Dave and I was just shook.
Holy shit, yeah.
It's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
And what I probably should have done is like waited it out, sit a little bit, because he's like, you know, what's your number and stuff like that. And like, Dave will just run you through. Like, you don't want to go numbers with him and stuff
no,
like that.
No, but also the waited out game, like the, like, I'll play it cool. He probably, you know, he...
I couldn't play cool.
No, I don't think you should have. Those, like, Dave would be like, you're going to play cool with me? Fuck you. I play cool with you. You're out. You know what I mean? Like,
when that came in, Stool Presidente, after just seeing Liz,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a little serendipity.
It was, like, the craziest thing, you know? And for me, I had just moved out to L.A.
Right.
So it would have been so hard for me now to go all the way back, out of the gate, go back. Yeah. And it was one of the toughest things.
That sucks. That hurts.
I had ever. But to see his name come up, oh, my God.
So you guys have a conversation. You just moved out, though. Couldn't justify coming back. Just not in the cards.
Yeah, what I tried to, like, what I wanted to do was, like, you know, be the West Coast guy, you know, to Barstool. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave has always kind of wanted to.
Yeah, we still need that foothold out there, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, he really wanted me to be in New York City, which I get, because you want to be in the mix. And you want to be. Yep. And if I did, and if he did let me do it out in L.A., I bet I would have wanted to, like, be there, be in the mix, watching the games
no doubt. Yeah.
With you guys and stuff like that. It was one of the toughest decisions.
I do think that's a testament, though, to, like, how well you were doing and how confident you are. That's, like, to turn it down means, like, you know, you were, I'm doing well. I got this thing going.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, I just kept thinking, I'm like, this has been, Barstool's been my dream.
Yeah.
And here's Dave.
Nah, it's a bitch, though, man.
You know, it was tough.
Had you got it, you know, a few months or whatever, years earlier, it would have been.
It's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy just how this stuff works and, like.
Timing is everything, for better or worse sometimes. Yeah. You know, I always think the story of Barstool is, like, you know, even down to the timing of when the Boston championship reign started. Dave was able to sell these T-shirts and do game watches and bars and shit. And if without that, who knows, you know, and the timing of everything. And in that case, you know, the timing didn't match up, but maybe it did. Maybe you end up saying, like, oh, man, had I been in New York and New Jersey, I would have taken that job and then I would have never done, you know, whatever's coming.
Crazy. Like, it's amazing how one thing or one decision just completely can change
the trajectory of everything.
Totally,
And now Dave will just be a fucking maniac about it. And, you know, who turns down Barstool and all that for sure. But, it, you know, it, it's
it was just. It was, I mean, to see that name come up after just seeing Liz.
Yeah.
And, you know, my manager was like, holy shit.
Right.
Like,
but I love the idea of doing it, you know, yourself. It's like, you know, a lot of people can do it themselves now. It's like there's so many apps and so many different avenues and ways to go about it where you can just be yourself and be your own Dave or, you know, no one could be Dave, but no one's making hundreds of millions, but you don't need that necessarily anymore. So, you know, tip of the cap for doing it that way. And so now it's just, you know, golf videos and hanging out with the guys and shooting the shit.
Yeah, we did the whole.
I love, like, the you know, the review, not reviews, like, you kind of do a little play-by-play of something that pops up on the Yankee game or, you know, look at this guy in the crowd. He's got the, you know.
You got it, Kev. But, yeah, it's cool.
Oh, and you got a fucking knockout girlfriend, brother.
Woo! Yeah. Yeah.
She's a little dime, man.
Yeah.
She's out there on the golf course with you. Are you the golf couple, though? I feel like you're the golf couple people like coming around. Sometimes the girl joins the foursome, and it's like, oh, this guy brought his girlfriend. Well,
no, and you know, what's good with her, she sticks with us. Like,
she can play, right?
She can play.
She can play. She can hang. She's getting the jokes.
And it's
she's filming you guys. Cold cuts and you.
She'll play from the ladies' tees. Mm-hmm. And I'll play from the blues. And there's times with how good she can hit it.
Yeah.
She's out driving me. Yeah. So I go to my ball and then she's out in front of me.
Yeah.
You know? And of course she's filming it.
Right.
And shit
right.
Like
she knows what she's doing.
She does.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you outkicked your coverage in that sense.
I did.
And that's a testament to your personality and your most likely to what? Put a smile on your face?
It wasn't best, biggest heart.
Biggest heart you don't want. Biggest heart is biggest pussy. Biggest heart, it should have said, like, most friend-zoned guy. Like, desperately wanted to hook up with all the girls in high school and never did. You know, like, that's why I found this slutty girl who was an upperclassman. That's why. But, man, I'm happy to see, like, the way you're doing it and, like, the way it's all unfolding. And I really do, the support that you guys give me is huge, man. Because it's, like, it's just, it just keeps me... reminds me I'm on the right track and doing things well. You guys are, you know, it's awesome to watch. I often try to think of it as like in the NBA, you know, there's like the LeBrons, there's tiers to the shit, and then totally. There's new guards that come in and a new torch to be passed, you know, and it's like, I think of it as like, you know, you're a Luka or a Trae Young or whoever's next coming up behind the guys who have been doing it. So I like, you know, there's longevity to this game. And I started to think about who's the next generation of it. You know, and I feel like you guys are that.
And I appreciate that. And you understand the game very well. Like, even like, for example, I had you on our podcast, me and Nick Cassano. Mm-hmm. We had you on a podcast, The Pantry Boys. And me and Nick were talking, I'm like, shit, man. Like, the guy took time out of his day. He comes on the podcast. Like, I don't want to ask him to do the swipe up. But, you know, if you got to grow, you got to
do that shit.
I hit you up before I was like, hey, great time. You're like, hey, you got a video? Like, I'll pop it up. Next thing you know, you pop it up.
That's because I know the game. You know the game. That's what I like. I mentioned Ross Bolin earlier because he's an internet guy. You guys are internet guys, you know. I talk to a lot of comics. I talk to a lot of entertainers. They're all great. But I know that you guys are like, I need to get my Instagram followers. I need to get the views. I need to get the downloads.
Grow, like that's the way you do it. You have mm-hmm. people on and you help each other out.
Yes. And I want to hopefully one day, whether it's, you know, with Barstool or on my own one day when this money comes in and I can finally do some of the things that I want to do, I want to have a stable of guys that are kind of doing it the same way Dave had his stable of guys. And, you know, you're right at the top of the list, man. You proved it. So.
Well, thanks, man, dude. And, again, we've been watching you for quite some time. So even for us, when you came on for us and, you know, we're very friendly now, still, it's like, Jesus, man. We've been watching you for the longest time.
So I appreciate
it. It's really cool.
So we got what? Brilliantly Dumb is the Instagram handle and the name of the show.
Yep.
We got Pantry Boys.
Pantry Boys.
With Nick. Anything else that you're working on or want the people to know about?
Yeah, just, Brilliantly Dumb on Instagram. Brilliantly Dumb Show, and then Pantry Boys.
Brilliantly Dumb is a great, you know, it's along the lines of, you know, I always say embrace mediocrity, or I say, what's the one, Nardini took one, I'm ambitiously lazy, you know, I'm like, I'm a couch potato, but I want to fucking do big things from my couch, so Brilliantly Dumb is right up there, so, you know, keep it up, man, you're on the right path, well done.
I appreciate it, brother. This was a lot of fun, man.
Much more to come, pal.
Much appreciated, brother.
All right, shout out to Robbie Berger for joining me on the Kevin Clancy Show. Leave a comment below. Any sort of personalities, any sort of celebrities, entertainers, anybody you find interesting that you want to see on the show, comment below. Make sure you subscribe and click the bell icon to turn on notifications to get noties right to your phone when Kevin Clancy Show drops.